When our family lived in Connecticut, one of the things that we often did, and we worked with the youth a little bit back there, and we would take them to a Christian festival in Pennsylvania called Creation Festival. It was a festival with a lot of musicians, Christian music, and men who taught the Word of God, messages and whatnot. If you've been to Kingdom Bound, anyone ever been to Kingdom Bound? It's a lot like that, where there's speakers and whatnot, except you don't have the Superman and the mind eraser going on. You're off in the boondocks out there in Pennsylvania. But one of the speakers that was there one of those years, I don't remember his name. I don't remember what even he was talking about, what year it was that year. But I do know something that he said that always stuck in my mind. And he said this. He said, "When I send my kids off to school in the morning, before they head out the door, I give them this advice. I tell them this: go mad, go mad." And we're all thinking like, hey, wait a minute now. There's enough craziness in the world. Why would you ever want to tell your kids to go mad in a mad world already? Well, he went on to explain that when he said go mad, that word mad, spelled M-A-D, stood for make a difference. You see, as a Christian dad, his heart for his kids was that they would have an impact for the kingdom, an impact for God, that they would make a difference for Christ in their world, wherever it was. And so too, as we seek to be kingdom people, that's what we've been learning about. You and I, our Heavenly Father says to us as His children, hey kids, I want you to make a difference. I want you to get out there, face the day, and make a difference for me. Make a difference for my kingdom. Heavenly Father says the same to us today. Well, how do we do that? There are many ways to do that. Today, I just want to focus on a few. Today's a little bit different. Normally, I work out of a passage, and then we go from there. No specific passage today. I'm going to give you some scriptures along the way. So if you want to just jot those down and read them in detail later at home, please do that. But number one, if you take your outlines there, number one is that God desires that we fill our tanks. There are one of the most important things we can ever do as we seek to make a difference in this world happens before we even begin, before we face the day, you could say, before we even walk out the door as this father had his kids go out the door. Now, I know some of you may not go out the door each day. Maybe you're retired. Maybe you spend a lot of time at home. Maybe you've got little ones at home. I know Helen, she may not go out the door a lot, but she still has to face the day, doesn't she? There's a starting point to the day when you know you've got to do your day, you know, so to speak. Let me ask you, what happens before you face the day? Is there a time where you, quote, fill your tank? Do you do that? I think we all know that when we have vehicles, there's only so far that we can go on our tanks, isn't there? There's a point where it just is going to run out on us. And so we need to continually be refilling that tank. And spiritually speaking, it's the same way. There's only so far we can go in our spiritual walk. We need to continually be filling our tank with certain things. Hopefully today is one way that you fill your tank. You come together as believers. You've been bought by the blood of Christ. You're joining with your brothers and sisters in Him. You find strength coming together, worshiping Him, singing praise songs that lift up His name, that glorify Him, that get your eyes back on the Lord. You fellowship with one another. You're able to give that to the Lord, all that He's blessed you with. You're able to hear the Word. Hopefully that encourages you in the faith and strengthens you to live for the Lord. All those are good things, and hopefully when you come in with the idea that I want my tank filled. And so really, even before we enter, a good thing to do is even be prepared to enter, isn't it? God, I want my heart to be soft, to be pliable, so that when I come in, it's a filling rather than if our hearts are hard, it's like everything is just bouncing off our hearts as we come in. We want that soft, pliable heart so that God might fill us with Him and we might grow in Him. So it's a good thing to come together like this on a Sunday, on the Lord's Day, and get your tanks filled. if you will. However, if today is the only day out of the 7 days of the week that you, quote, fill your tank, you may find yourself often walking with gas can in hand, right? Because you've got to walk all the way to the gas station. You know, like if you run out of gas, right? What happens? You got to do that. Same thing spiritually. That can happen in our lives. And you know what? When our gas gets low in our car, what happens? Most of us have a little bell maybe that goes off and says, or a light that comes on. It lets us know. We know, right, when we're getting low. And sometimes we think, well, I can just make it. I know I can do it one more day. And sometimes we run out of gas. Spiritually, same thing. There are warning signs. There are things in our lives where God points us out to us and say, hey, your tank is getting empty. You need to refill. And it's more than just one day a week. How do we fill up during the week? How do we do that? I think all of you know the answer already, don't you? If you take your outlines, you see a few things listed there, right? The Word, prayer, fellowship, those are all things, you know, that's good. We can go home now, right? We all know the answer, and it's all good, right? But it's not that easy, is it? Many of us struggle. It's interesting. Our men's group was kind of on being disciplined in time with the Lord. Sunday school was kind of about disciplined in prayer. And how easy it is to struggle with those kind of things in our lives. So I'm going to ask you a question. We must ask ourselves this question. If my life is not making a difference for the kingdom, could it be that I'm not filling up on God's word or seeking him in prayer or delighting to fellowship with other believers? Could one of those areas be off and so we're not really making an impact for the kingdom? The Bible stresses the importance of these three areas. Jesus says in Matthew 4:4, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Concerning prayer, Mark 1:35 says this, and rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. He just got alone with the Father. And when the early church turned the world upside down for Christ, we read in Acts 2:42, our scripture reading today, they were concerned with the word, with prayer, with breaking of bread, and then one more thing, they were devoted to fellowship. They knew the importance of fellowship when impacting the kingdom of God. You see, it's no huge mystery, is it? We all know that. We learn that from a very young age. These things are so vital to our spiritual lives. How many of us know it up here, but yet still struggle with that? Well, hopefully today we can address these issues. If any of these three areas have slipped in our lives, what's the solution? Maybe buy a book, right? Buy a book on prayer, Bible reading, or fellowship. That's all good, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but really, our ultimate source of truth, right, comes from here. We need to put this number one. We find some great advice in the Word of God. 1 Timothy 4:7 says this, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. I'd like to read to you a commentary on 1 Timothy 4:7 from J. Adams. He says this, why is it that you have failed in your attempts concerning discipline? Why is it that you rarely succeed even in your determination to change in small ways? There must be something wrong. You want to do the right thing, yet you so rarely achieve it. Of course, there may be many reasons for this. At the bottom of all this is sin. But here, let us single out one major reason, perhaps the major reason why the gears don't seem to mesh as they should. What is the problem? You have sought and tried to obtain instant godliness. There is no such thing. Today we have instant pudding, instant coffee, instant houses shipped on trucks, instant everything. And we want instant godliness as well. We want somebody to give us three easy steps to godliness, like your pastor in today's message, right? Three easy steps. And we'll take them next Friday and then we'll be godly. The trouble is, godliness doesn't come that way. The Bible is very plain about how godliness does come. Paul wrote to Timothy, again, 1 Timothy 4:7, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Discipline is the secret of godliness. That means if you're slipping in any of those areas, then, or if I'm slipping, then we need to change. There needs to be something that changes in our life, a change in priority, if you will. You know, if you're too tired to read the word, then maybe you need to go to bed just a little bit early. Maybe you need to skip Letterman if you stay up for him at night. Maybe you just need to make some changes so that you're fresh to read the word of God. Maybe it's just too loud. There's always too much commotion and noise to hear from God and to talk to God. Then maybe you just need to take your chair, put it in your closet, and this is your place of solitude where you're going to meet with the Lord and where you're going to let him fill your tank again so you can make an impact for the kingdom of God. When we think about our spiritual vitality, there's a lot of similarities to physical vitality. When I lack energy during the day, I know if I want more energy, I'm going to have to make changes. That means I may have to devote a half an hour to go exercise and do things, or maybe eat more fruits and veggies or whatever you want to give me more energy throughout the day. There's changes that have to be made in my life if I want to have physical energy. And the same thing happens spiritually. If we are spiritually empty and there's nothing there, then God's saying, make some changes. Do some things so that you can be spiritually vibrant in your life. And this is preaching to me too. This is a struggle for me as well. Well, are there any changes that need to be made in your life today and in my life? You know, it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, whether it's 5 days or 50 years, I think we're always going to struggle with these things if we don't always examine our lives and see if they are lined up with the way they ought to be. We do need discipline for the purpose of godliness. And as we get older, we may be tempted to say this, well, you know what, Lord, I've been, for 20 years, I've been having a great quiet time with you. And you know, I've got so much Bible knowledge, I can just take a year off. I can just kind of cruise through the year. And what you'll find is what happens whenever you're not dwelling on something in here. What's that proverb? As a man thinks, so he becomes. Right? What we dwell on, we tend to put out of our lives. And so if we're never dwelling on this, what's going to happen? All that stuff is just going to go to the back burner. And God says, no, I want that on the front burners, always churning in your minds how great I am, how awesome I am, how good I am to you. Always think of these things and what I can do in your life. We also know that as followers of Christ, we're to strive to have the same attitude as Jesus. What was his attitude? His attitude was, I cannot survive spiritually apart from this, apart from the word of God. Last week in men's group, Dennis gave the analogy that this word should be like our oxygen tank. And that's just a great analogy. We need to be desperate for this. We need to need this so badly. We sang that song today, I'm desperate for you. Not just like, God, I can take you or leave you. You know, if I don't get to the word today, no big deal. No, I'm desperate for the word. God, I need your word in my life or I will not make an impact on the kingdom. All right, so we've spent some time filling our tank with the word. Now, how do we go out and make a difference? Well, number one is to remember the word. You see, it's one thing to begin the day and fill up with it. It's another thing to think about it throughout the day. Now, for some of you, that may mean memorizing the Word of God, to meditate on it, to think upon it. It may mean that you have to write scriptures on little cards, stick them in your pocket, so that during the day you can pull it out and focus again on the Word of God. Now, certainly, memorization isn't the end all, because we can remember it, we can quote it, but if we're not applying it, then again, we're not going to make a difference in the kingdom. But as you read the word on your own, I'm sure many of you have experienced this. You begin the day with the word, and then something will happen during the day, right? Where God will almost allow you sovereignly in a situation where you may have read just about anger or pride or lust that very morning, and then here you are and you're faced with that situation, and God is saying, how are you gonna do with what you just read this morning? That ever happened to you, right? Where you're reading it and now you're called to obedience, you're called to live it out. And so it's so important to remember the Word of God. But if we've forgotten the Word, then again, there's no power, there's no strength to be obedient through that. Well, as you desire to do the will of God, you will feel, in one sense, torn between two lovers. Ever hear that song? Torn between two lovers. Feeling like, well, that's how you're gonna feel, because there's going to be a part of you that desires to do what you want. And then there's another part of you that desires to do what God wants. And so there's this tearing between what you know you ought to do and what you want to do in your sin nature. And so it's a battle. But you know, when you and I submit to God's will, that is when obedience manifests itself in our lives. And when we follow God's will, people may notice that you're just a little bit different. They may call you strange, but they're going to notice that you're a little different. Hey, old Bill, you know what? He doesn't fly off the handle like everybody else does. And old Joe over there, you know, he doesn't hold grudges like the normal guy would in a situation like he's in. They're going to notice there's some differences in your life if you are filled up with the Word and you desire to obey the Word on a daily basis. Now, that may not mean that everyone's going to like you. In fact, some people may hate you because you do the godly thing when you show mercy and forgiveness and things like that. And they say, man, you ought to be stabbing that guy in the back. You need to get revenge. They may not like you when you do the godly thing. And Jesus said, don't fret it, because in John 15:18, Jesus says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first before it hated you. And he went on to say this, my kingdom is not of this world. And so when people see us, do they look at us as a peculiar people, kind of a strange people who really don't belong according to the world system and the way the world would do things? Hopefully that's what they see. And you know, no matter what the world may think, God may use your obedience to expand the kingdom. Well, number two is prayer. Last week we talked about prayer, Matthew 6, about the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. And one of the phrases that we didn't spend too much time on was out of Matthew 6:10. And Jesus said this, he said, when you pray, one of the things he said was, your kingdom come. What does it mean when we pray, your kingdom come? Looking back, we saw that prayer dealt with the heart, didn't it? So much of that prayer, our hearts, our view of God, right? God, you are my holy, gracious Father. There's an intimacy there with God. We saw that our hearts should be thankful for all the needs that we have from God. We saw that our hearts should be filled with forgiveness, and that our hearts are quick to turn from sin. When we see this temptation, we're saying, God, lead me the other way. Not that, lead me out of the temptation. Lord, get me away from that. Turn from that sin. All these things are present in this prayer, but yet Jesus also says, your kingdom come. When he says that, our hearts are to desire the kingdom. What does that mean? That means when we hear about old Bill that we work with that nobody likes, and they can't stand him because he's obnoxious and rude, and we hear that he just came to Christ, we rejoice because the kingdom has come. God, you've increased your kingdom. You've added to your kingdom. Therefore, when we pray, God, your kingdom come, we're praying for souls that might come to know Christ. Doesn't matter who they are. You ever think of maybe if someone came into this church who had a bad reputation in town? How would you accept that individual? Would you say, oh, no, we're not in this church? No. Or would you say, you know, here's a demonstration of God's mighty grace in his life, and he's not perfect and he's never going to be perfect, but hopefully he can grow in Christ while he's here with us. And God, your kingdom come. God, you brought him in, your kingdom's increasing, and as we love him, he can have an impact on others for your kingdom as well as they look at his life. That's what it means to pray, God, your kingdom come. God, I want your kingdom to come. Do you pray that in your life? Is that part of your prayer? do you pray, O Father, let your kingdom come and use me as a vessel to that end. God, I want to be used so that your kingdom would grow. Number three is fellowship. You may ask, how is fellowship going to impact the kingdom of God? Wouldn't it be better if we spent all of our time witnessing as opposed to fellowship? And the answer is no. Fellowship is vital to impacting the kingdom. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that we should not balance. We should just only fellowship, but we should also, there should be outreach, there should be witnessing. And we may have to examine our own lives and say, you know, how much time am I ever spending with those who don't know Christ? Is it simply always with the church folk? Am I so focused on fellowship that I forget to reach out to those who don't know Christ? But back to fellowship. Fellowship is very, very important to the kingdom of God. We see that in the book of Acts. Fellowship is a key ingredient because it provides strength and it helps us to grow. Isn't it encouraging when you hear about what God is doing in someone's life? Doesn't that encourage you? It ought to. Just this past week at Care Group, just a small group of people, what was there, five of us maybe or so, hearing about someone who is sharing with their dad really the gospel and their desire that dad, do you really know what it means to know Christ? God, I want to make sure that you understand salvation here. And that was so encouraging. But you know, if I wasn't there, I never would have experienced that. I never would have been encouraged. I never would have had that fellowship that existed that day. And so fellowship is so important. And you know, fellowship is much more than just what we're doing here today, just once a week. You know, it's great that we sing the same songs and we hear the same sermon, and hopefully as we pray, we're praying in one accord. But that's fellowship only to a certain degree. Fellowship comes from the Greek word koinonia, and it means an in-depth sharing of each other's lives. That's what it means. And there's a deepness to it. Now, obviously, we cannot have a, even in the church of our size, we cannot have an in-depth, really deep fellowship with every single person here. That would be very hard to do. Why? Because we have other responsibilities, right? We do have to work. We've got to mow the lawn. We've got to do clean the house, right? There's certain things we've got to do. So we can't have that. But yet, are there some here that you're able to have a deep fellowship with, where you're able to share your heart? And you have a burden, you just say, hey, this is what's going on. Would you pray for me? I mean, that's big stuff right there, just to say that. And then to have ears that listen. Hey, maybe someone's struggling. How can I help you? Fellowship is also asking, how are you doing with the Lord? And I'm guilty of not asking this very often. You know, how is your walk going with the Lord? And that may open up this fellowship conversation between me and Josh. He says, well, it's going great or whatever. It would lead to a connection about godly stuff. And really, that's fellowship. It's the godly stuff. You know, so often we think fellowship is all the earthly stuff. You know, we may share a lot of things. You know, we may go to a football game today and say, boy, I had great fellowship. Well, maybe you shared some time, but fellowship is about the godly stuff. What's God doing? How's God working? How's your walk with God? And you may say, well, no one's ever asked me how that's going. That's not the question. Let me ask that again. Who have you asked? Who have you asked? How are they doing in their walk? And as we do that, you know, we're not going to have all the answers, are we? But you know what? We're going to need patience and grace as we help each other to fill our tanks. Fellowship means this, that we walk together, that we're called to walk together, imperfect as we are, and will continue to be imperfect until glory. And so there's an understanding there of that. We understand that we've been saved by grace. The ground is level at the cross, isn't it? We all entered the family of God one way, right? Through the blood of Christ, through His grace, and through His grace alone. It's not that anybody's better, right? It's because of grace. Grace is the common ground. Grace has brought us together. And so arm in arm, We walk together and we fellowship together. And you know what? We may have nothing in common but Christ. And can there be anything greater in common than Christ? Back in Connecticut, I remember we had a small prayer meeting, and I was in my 20s, maybe 20s, 30s. And there was a lady in her probably 60s or 70s. And I used to give her a ride to prayer meeting on Wednesday nights. And you know, we had nothing in common. I mean, nothing at all. You name it, nothing. But when we got together and prayed together, there was a great link. We had fellowship together because Christ binded our hearts together. We were united in Him. We knew who we were in Him. And there was this deep fellowship and joy, this koinonia. And God wants that between you and I as well. Do you have that fellowship? And if you don't, what changes need to be made so that you can fellowship, you can share your life, and you can be a blessing to someone else? And Jesus said, when you truly grasp and live out this unity, this oneness in Christ, then the world may just believe that I am who I am, the Savior of the world. When they look at us and they see the love and the fellowship and the connection, it may just grab their attention and point them to the Savior. Fellowship is very important in making an impact for the kingdom of God. And when others believe, we will gladly say this, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray. Our Father, I thank you for your word that is our strength, that is our hope. Father, I thank you for the just the avenue of prayer that you give us, Lord, that is a command, and it is a blessing to approach you and to pour out our hearts to you and to listen to you as well, Lord. Help us to be faithful, Lord. Help us to be disciplined in the word and in prayer, knowing that, Lord, if we don't do these things, our tank will be empty and we will have made no impact on your kingdom. Father, forgive us when we fall short. Lord, help us when we get weary, that you would strengthen us. Lord, that others would be able to come alongside and strengthen us as well when we get weary, and that we would seek to be a strength for those in need. Father, help us to have a deep fellowship here with each other, Lord, knowing that we cannot be all things to all men, but Lord, we can be some things to some men, Lord, and women and children, and we can help. And Lord, help us to reach out. Lord, forgive us again when we become so selfish that it's only about us and our needs and not about others. Lord, forgive us for that. Father, continue to grow us together in your love and grow us together that we might glorify Christ and make a difference in your kingdom, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And we'll have a song now.